Good morning, everyone. I'd like to talk about a subject this morning that's been on my heart for a while. We live in a world of contrast, and I don't think it's too hard for us to imagine the differences in good and evil, but I think exemplified very well in the Bible is light and darkness. And I want to talk about the contrast within ourselves, the inward man, the outward man. And I want to first of all say, just quickly, it says inward, not that's inside something that's outward. And so therefore, as in engineering, we have models. We have a good illustration, I believe, in the Word of God. What's going on inside of us is that we have something inside, a dark place, but it's light. And in order to get that light out, the darkness must be destroyed. And on the outside is the body. So our three parts are body, outward man, inward man. And you could imagine just that taking an egg, and the shell would be the body. And then inside you could have, say, the white part of the egg is being the outward man, and the inward part is the yolk. Okay. So just keep that in mind. And I wanted to share a little bit about the contrast between light and darkness, and with in mind that the darkness is the outward man and the inward man is the light. And we only have that inward man unless we're born again, chosen before the foundation, before the world began. And Jesus endured darkness in order to bring us light. And we'll talk a little bit about that. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In John 3, 17 through 21, says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Jesus Christ is light. He is no, there is no darkness. But yet he was made darkness for 3 hours, so that we might have that light inside. Keep that in mind. And then it continues, it says, "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God." I want you to consider that there are four things that I have found in the Word of God that talk about darkness. Darkness comes before light. Keep that in mind. In the beginning, there was darkness. Before the earth, there was God said, "Let there be light." There was darkness, and it covered the whole earth. That's a picture of us. In our old nature, we're, before we're born again, we're darkness, void of all goodness, all light. And so even the gospel is preached in the first few verses of the Bible. Adam sinned against God and thus plunged all mankind into darkness. Okay. We're conceived in darkness in our mother's womb. And finally, the 3 hours of darkness that I talk a lot about. Without those 3 hours, we would have no light. Could you imagine if the sun was covered completely and had let no light out, and the earth was plunged into coldness? There would be no life. There would be no light, obviously. But that's the condition that we ourselves internally face every moment of our life. Do we put a bushel over our light? Do we hide our light? Our old nature hides our light so that it doesn't get out. And what happens? We die in manifestation. So if I were to say, what would my text be? I would say the inward man equals the light and equals grace manifested. God's riches at Christ's expense is both eternal and timely. So let's look at, again, Genesis 1:5-5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. That's us before we're born again. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He moves in over our waters, our darkness. And He says, let there be light. The darkness doesn't call for the light. It's impossible. Light, darkness is destroyed with light. You don't have light and then darkness can even be there. So that is the contrast that I want to look at. And I know I'm saying some things that are sometimes people don't even want to hear. They don't want to hear that we're darkness. I'm speaking to myself. I know my old nature more and more. As I come closer to God, I learn more about the darkness. And it causes me to run to the light. And I think that is what we need more of. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Wasn't any asking the darkness, there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So on the very first day, we have established light and darkness in the first opening of Genesis, but then we look at light in Revelation 21 and 22. And it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Now we're not talking about physical light, whereas in Genesis we're talking about physical light. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. In Revelation 22:5 it says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Brethren, this is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of today. There should be light being preached in the gospel every day in our life so that our darkness is destroyed. Our outward man is destroyed. And we have, and it's temporary. It's not permanent. The old nature will claw its way back into our life and cover up our light. Because it is the default. In computer language, it would be the zero. The one would be light. Zero would be, that's 0 volts, and one would be 5 volts. But our zero is next to the body and is our default manifestation. And so you look at Revelation 21:22, it's talking about a gospel kingdom. A millennial kingdom. And that's why I love all the things that we hear today about, well, Christ's going to rule and reign out there in the future. What's He doing now? He's ruling and reigning and sitting at the right hand of the Father on high, saving everyone that He died for in those 3 hours of darkness, putting light in them, even down to one cell baby that dies in the womb. So I'm thankful for that. So, in order for that light, in order for us to be in that city, we have to shine light. We have to want to be there, number one. As soon as we go into our old nature and become a zero, so to speak, binary-wise, zeros and ones, like I said, we are ejected out of the city. And on the outside, it says it's darkness. And there's dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. So that can't be a picture of heaven. There is no picture of heaven in that. But there's a picture of heaven on earth. If you're inside the city, that's a temporal heaven. That we have an earnest expectation of the future that we will have. So That speaks to all ages. It's not just about the end time people that just happen to be living at the end time, you know, and they, all the scenarios that we hear today in many church settings, I think is darkness. It is teaching something that's not going to happen. And meanwhile, we miss the greatest opportunity to be light givers right now. So Luke 23:44 spells out when Jesus Christ, we read before that He was the light of the world and that men love darkness, but yet He was made darkness. In Luke 23:44 it says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole earth unto the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Remember I asked you, what if the sun was covered up? It did get covered up. There was darkness, I believe, it says here, on the whole earth. I believe God could suspend physics and shut down every star in the universe for 3 hours. He created physics, He created everything, and He had the power to shut it down. So that means that the physical world even acknowledged the what was happening inside of Jesus, that He was made to be darkness. And the lake of fire came to Him. He's the only man, I've said this before, He's the only man, the only human being, the only being that's ever experienced the lake of fire. Satan hasn't experienced it yet. The fallen angels haven't experienced it. The non-elect haven't experienced it, but Jesus Christ has experienced it. And I believe that we need to keep that in mind. So Ephesians, you know, 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and not of works, lest any man should boast." As soon as we start putting our works up as reasons why God has to bless us, then we become darkness. We cannot do anything on our own behalf, not even in time. As soon as we try to get something, we're darkness. The only way to win in terms of being a light giver is ask God to destroy the darkness. Temporarily, we need to have our flesh crucified, and that would let the light that's inside get out to the body. I'm often, and I haven't completely got this firmly in my mind, but even a black hole in space preaches the gospel. We are a black hole. In the middle, when all the matter comes together and comes across the event horizon and plunges to the center where there is no distance between A and B, there's no time. That's almost like the physical becomes a domain, becomes a spiritual domain. But we don't know what's inside the black hole. Can't go there. We'll die. But inside that black hole, when everything comes together, there could be a tremendous amount of light that we don't know. But wonder if the black hole was suspended, that light would burst forth. And that's what happens, I believe, inside of our life. So I believe that the gospel is preached all over in nature. And I believe the Lord loves what He has created, and He wants us to look at those things and see what we have as blessings. So our temporal salvation is simply the outward man dying so that our inward man can manifest the light to the world. And that's what I believe our goal is. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them," and that we should, even in our gospel, it be light. Well, if I'm preaching lies, it's not light. If I'm preaching that you can do something to get something, that's not light. That's darkness. And that's what our old nature wants, because it wants to take credit. It wants to be able to say, "Well, I've done something to get something." And that is what makes it wrong. So we need to fight that we need to beg God for mercy, and that we have grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, applied to our temporal time salvation as well as eternal. A lot of churches don't even see the eternal aspect of true grace.
That's right.
But I believe that if we reject time grace and say that I can do something to get my own life, then we're just as bad off as those that reject the eternal grace. So we need to have both light in our eternal and our time for our salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much that You have said, let there be light. Even in the beginning, O God, You love what You will be doing in the future, but You had to start off with darkness. And that darkness was totally destroyed by light. And even in our lives, Lord, we want that light to be manifested more and more. And the only way we can do that is by being crucified daily and asking that You would help us to shine that light, Lord. That our own nature loves darkness, but please crucify that so that we may learn more about Thee and exhibit the love that we're supposed to of loving Thy Lord, Thy God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Please forgive us for our sins. Please bless those that have been mentioned this morning, that the measure of grace will come to them that they need. And heal, O God, I beg Thee to heal Thy children wherever they are. Please help us, Father, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And please bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.